Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're going to play baseball in 2020, 100%. I do learn as I go along. Given how long my 100% prediction lasted, I'm not going to handicap it again, but it's something less than 100, that's for sure.
Things can change in a matter of 5 days when it comes to baseball negotiations. Joe Ostrowski with you. You've got Sports Radio 670 The Score. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're safe out there. I woke up to this tweet and I said, Chris Dickens, we need to get Craig Mish on the show tonight. Craig tweeted this out, and Craig has a history of breaking some news. He tweets, no matter what the optics have been, it's been strongly conveyed to me this morning that there will be baseball in 2020. It will get done eventually. Save this. Craig is telling you. Keep those receipts. Let's go out to the Alpamonte Ford hotline. Craig Mish joins me now on 670 The Score. Follow him on Twitter by his name, at Craig Mish. How you doing, Craig?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
Appreciate you coming on. We saw a lot of reports today about Florida, where you are based, about the number of positive tests. Is it as open as we see in some of the national reports?
I think it's more open based on probably the leadership and the governor in particular, who seems to really be adamant about making sure that businesses, big and small, you know, sort of get back on their feet. And I'm seeing some of the same things that you are. I got to tell you, it is really confusing because, like, I go through it with my family and my wife, you know, she asks me, did you see the report today? Well, what's the report? The report is that there are a lot more people positive today. And then my answer is, well, did they test more people? Well, let's check. Yeah. Yes, they did. You know, are there more people in the hospital? Are there less people in the hospital? I feel like all the reporting, whether it's in the Midwest or here, is sort of agenda-based. I try to live my own life and sort of stay out of it. But the short answer is that at the very least what they've done is they've, you know, sort of halted moving any further than they are right now here in Florida. So, you know, for me personally, I really haven't. I have two kids and I'm married. I haven't really done all that much the last 90 days. I've gone food shopping and things like that. But I guess I'm in a sort of pseudo quarantine like a lot of the other people here in South Florida.
Yeah, pretty similar here in the suburbs of Chicago for me. And you're right, it's kind of a sad state of affairs. When you see a report now, the first thing I have to do is click on the bio. I say, okay, where do they work? Because there might be some sort of agenda based.
Like, I just want to know. Yeah. I just want to know, like, what's real and what's not, and is it safe and is it not? And yeah, I guess that's sort of part of the world that we're living in here. And you know, and I don't do politics, and you know, I've covered sports and been on the air for 20 years. I stay far away from it because I always feel like there's someone that you're going to upset. So regardless of, I always, you know, try and walk the line there because I feel like people want to hear me and listen to me for sports. So I try to do that, but it is difficult this day and age of trying to just weave your way through that.
No question, with Craig Mish here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Well, let's move to the sports. What are you hearing about Major League Baseball in 2020?
Yeah, well, I mean, I up until about this morning, I was hearing more or less the same things that, you know, virtually everyone else was hearing until, you know, and we all have people that we speak to and that we trust. And to be clear with me, you know, I'm not somebody that tweets to tweet. Like, I haven't updated if they're going to play or if they're not going to play. I don't think I've done it once in the last 3 months. But From somebody that I spoke to, and we're talking about, you know, speaking to somebody at an extremely high level, you know, pretty much indicated to me today that there's going to be a season, and it's going to happen eventually. And both sides really do want to play. I understand that there's a report by Ken Rosenthal today that in The Athletic that said that several teams don't want to play. I can't speak to that, you know, exactly. And I can imagine, by the way, that there probably are some teams that are really nervous about paying out the, you know, $200 million payroll with no fans. But I think in the end, it is best for the game for them to play. And I do think that the owners are now in a predicament where they sort of have to, I think, come closer to where the players want to be. And then who knows, Joe, this may flip. I mean, the owners may come back and give these guys prorated salaries to almost what they wanted. And then what if the players at that point say, no, it's still not enough? This whole mantra is going to flip back to the players don't want to play. So who knows?
Yeah. You cover the Marlins, and so there's this narrative going around, okay, there's this list of six teams. No, there's this list of eight, and that's what you just referenced from Ken Rosenthal, of teams that owners that don't even want to play this season. As far as you know, do the Marlins want to play?
You can tweet it out, you can post my audio, and you can do whatever you want with it after this is over. The Marlins want to play in 2020. They're not one of those teams.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, who knows if we're at that magic number of eight. I found it pretty interesting when agent Joe Wolf was talking about some of the owners crying poor, including Tom Ricketts here in Chicago or DeWitt in St. Louis. He mentioned, listen, the Marlins have played without fans for 15 years, and they were still able to hand out the largest contract in sports history to Stanton, and then they sold the team for a $1 billion profit.
Yeah, I mean, Joel was 50% right on that comment, maybe a little bit more. A lot of that is accurate. There are fans don't show up like they do in other places, that's for sure. I'm not going to sit here and deny that. I mean, it would be impossible. Everybody sees the videos of that. But let's also keep in mind something that Joel didn't mention, which, by the way, he was the one that did that contract with Giancarlo, that virtually 80% of the salary was backloaded to when the owners that owned the Marlins knew that they were going to sell the team. So, you know, Stanton had baseball's biggest contract, being the fourth highest paid player on the Marlins at the time, $6 million, $8 million, $10 million. They sold the team. His contract went up to $30 million. So I understand the sentiment, and that's true. They did inevitably give him a massive contract. But as you can see, the team that immediately took on that contract moved him and really didn't get all that much back in return. And the whole point was just being able to move his contract in addition to, I think they are paying some money to the Yankees also for that. So Joel is correct. I mean, all those things that he stated are accurate, but the previous ownership had no intention of paying Stanton the money that he's getting paid by the Yankees right now. None.
Devil's in the details, right? That's not going to grab a headline. That's not going to get thousands and thousands of retweets. So, okay, yeah, it's a big part of that story there with the 80% backloaded. With Craig Mish here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. Craig, how do you think this plays out? How long will the season be?
Yeah, I mean, that's not something that I have clarity on, so I would just be guessing along with everyone else. But I do believe that there will be more than 50 games. I do think it'll be less than 80 games. And I thought all along that all of this posturing was simply to, for the owners, by the way, to get less than 82 games, which is what the players essentially agreed to play to. I mean, the players knew it wasn't going to be 100, but 82 would be a number that the players would be really hard-pressed if they offered full prorated salary to not play. And so from an owner's perspective, Joe, if you think about it, and you don't even have to go as far as the Cubs or any of the other teams, I mean, what would it be to the owners of the Cubs, you know, to not have to pay? I mean, pick anyone you want, Anthony Rizzo for 10 days. What would it be for the Yankees to not have to pay Gerrit Cole for 10 days, the Tigers with Miguel Cabrera, the Angels with Albert Pujols? If they're able to shave 10 games off and put this charade on for 2 months, you know, they're saving, you know, what, $100 million just off 10 games? And then you would ask yourself, was it all worth it? At this point, probably not, given the amount of backlash that there's been. But I always thought that that was sort of the financial play that they were making here. But they just let this go too far. So That's a long answer. Short answer is I think somewhere in the 60 to 70 range. I don't think 50 would be acceptable.
Let's say we get around 60, and it's funny because most years around Memorial Day, we're getting close to that 60 mark, and that's when we start to say, okay, we have an idea what kind of a team we have, where we need to add, where we need to get better before the trade deadline, but that's going to be your entire season. So would the World Series champion have an asterisk in your own mind?
I think probably. But you know, it's not even an asterisk at this point. I think everybody recognizes what this is. And they'll crown a champion and they'll give out MVPs and rookies of the year and all of that. But I just don't think it's realistic that anybody would take this season as serious as they would for others in particular. Now, had they gotten 100 games out of this, I think that we could have made more of a case. But right now, I simply don't think so. So, I mean, I think that the record books would show all of the things that happened this season. But I don't think that, you know, a player hitting 400 would count, you know, like if that ended up happening. Like, I don't think that anybody would look at that as legitimate. And look, baseball's records were really hollowed for a long time, until the steroid era. And I think, you know, this is more for like a historian's point of view. I think the younger fans who are out there right now don't pay as much attention to it.
I've been thinking about guys like Javi Baez. They were in extension talks with Baez before the pandemic. Chris Bryant, is he going to be traded before his time is up here in the next 2 years? There's a lot of chatter about this before everything came to a halt when the Cubs are playing out in Arizona. How ugly will free agency be over the next couple of off seasons?
Well, I think it'll be ugly again for the middle and the low, but I think that Mookie Betts will be fine. I think JT Realmuto will be fine. I think George Springer will be fine. You know, I think that the guys who can help teams win championships are still going to get paid. I don't see that being an issue. And in the end, look, it may come down to them signing late like Harper and Machado did a couple of years ago. But my worry, again, would be for the mid-level, lower guys having to take one-year deals. I think that's a significant concern. But in the end, 2 years ago, if you remember, Joe, it was like, oh, baseball's done, free agency's done, these guys aren't going to get paid. I mean, yeah, it was annoying that we had to wait till February for Harper and Machado to sign, but in the end they did, and they got over $300 million. So I'm not too concerned about that. I think the three players that I mentioned, Betts, Springer, and Realmuto, all get $100 million this offseason at least.
Craig, we can find those baseball is dying stories written 80 years ago if you want. They were out there.
I get them today. Yeah. I get them today. And the thing is that, look, baseball's popularity is never going to be what football is anymore. We know that. And the NBA has passed it without a doubt. And all the younger fans are there. And, you know, it's interesting that I saw a report the other day that said that that baseball's average fan is 57 years old. And I'm not one to challenge reports. I'm a reporter, too, and I hate it when people challenge my reports. But it did seem a little older, but even for the sake of argument, if it is true, 57 years old are the people who have credit cards. And those are the sort of people that you want to get to invest in your company. And that's why the Marlins and the Royals both sold for over $1 billion, and they have a huge contract coming up in TV as well. So while baseball's popularity will never go back to being America's national pastime and being ahead of football and probably not basketball either, it has a solid number three spot. And there's kids all over the world still playing Little League. And I think just baseball is in this rut of where it's going to be. But I don't think it's hurting by any means. And so if it was, then how are teams being sold for $1 billion, named the Marlins and the Royals, by the way? So, you know, it seems a little far-fetched to me to think the sport is dying. Although I will say in 20, 30 years from now, we may have to reassess that. But I think they're good for a while.
Yeah, look at the money that's brought in from advanced media. We are the radio home of the Cubs. Without a question, that is the most valuable play-by-play property in Chicago. And I don't even know. I guess the Bears would be second, but when you only have 16 games, it's really not all that close with the Cubs, 162 times on the air.
I mean, things are so bad that they have a brand new television network for the Cubs to broadcast
right.
The games. It's just so bad.
Exactly. Let's close with this, Craig. I know you're into betting baseball a little bit, and you like to study up on win totals. So once we have a schedule finally set and these books do release win totals. Are you going to even take a look at that? Because like we've discussed, it really might be more of a crapshoot than ever before.
It's funny that you should ask that. You've done some research. Yeah, I do get into that a lot before each season. And in particular, have had some success. And usually what I do is I do like one team a year. I tend to not do more than that. And the bet that I made this year, the significant one, was under on the San Francisco Giants win total. It was 71.5 or 72. I'm still waiting for I did it in Vegas, so I'm still waiting for that to open back up so I can get paid back on that. I've been asked that question a lot from the people who follow me, because that was the advice that I gave out before the season of what would I do? Would I go back down that road again? And I can make a case for and against it, but I got to tell you, Joe, I think this may just be a year that I sit it out. I don't know. It just seems too uncertain for me. I need to know about a trade deadline. I need to know about the reserve list for the rosters, who's eligible, who's available. And maybe when all that gets sorted out, I would take a deeper look at it. But I feel like my best bet is to wait until 2021, unfortunately. I know that's not what a lot of people like to hear, but I'm sort of leading that way.
I think you're right. With that said, I'll probably make some bets. You think there will be a trade deadline? I would think not, if we're talking about 2.5 months maybe of a regular season.
Yeah, I think they have to have one. Yeah.
Okay.
I think the Rockies need to try and trade Nolan Arenado as fast as they possibly can.
Yeah.
To avoid having to pay him a dollar. So because they're in deep trouble, the Rockies. So
yeah.
So I think that there's got to be some sort of deadline. Maybe it's after the first 30 days or something like that. It's a fair question because you usually know a lot more about your teams to that point when the deadline is. But I'm using the Rockies as a situation. And by the way, Joe, I don't have any indication that the Rockies are one of those teams that don't want to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to tell you, like that team screams of a team that is top 5-6 in attendance every year. That's going to have no fans with $150, $200 million payroll with a player that they already tried to move once. You know, I feel bad for that franchise. They're in a very tough spot.
It's so intriguing that you do mention the Marlins do want to play baseball this year. Do you think it's smaller market teams that don't want to play? If we're taking Ken Rosenthal words, Andy Martino's reporting at face value here, do you think it's small market or it's just a mix?
I'm not sure. I've polled a few people and asked a few people, and I'm convinced the Rockies are one of those teams. But beyond that, I think it's the teams that do very well at the gate that have a high payroll and potentially a chance
Cubs.
Of not winning. So, this is complete speculation on my part, and I don't want to take that any further, but Colorado's at the top of my list. Boston would be a team that certainly is not in a position this year particularly to win, and they sell out virtually every single game. The Pirates are heading toward what's going to be a 3 or 4 year rebuild for sure. And they're not in a position of building back up like Miami, like Kansas City, like Detroit and Baltimore. Like Pittsburgh's about to start what those teams are already doing. So there's really no point for them to play. So I think it'll be a mix of sort of both teams, but I think the rebuild teams, Detroit, Baltimore, Miami, Kansas City, I think they want to be on the field. They want to have their kids play. They want to be ready to compete in a couple of years. But those teams that are about to go in the other direction, like I just mentioned, it would seem to make sense for them to be whispering, you know what, let's just bag it.
Yeah, it's brutal on the south side here for the White Sox. This was supposed to be a year they really took a
big
step.
You think they don't want to play? Come on.
Yeah,
they definitely
of course they
play.
Do. Yep. Craig Mish, check him out, Sports Grid, from 10 to noon every single day, and check out his podcast, Swings and Mishes. Craig, appreciate your time. Hope we can do it again, okay?
Anytime, Joe. Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. At Craig Mish on Twitter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.